Our next guest just is a real delight. She's just a ball of joy and very biting and very sharp at the same time. She has a unique combination. Karen Cataline. KarenCataline.com is her website. She's a writer. She writes for Investors Business Daily, other places. She also hosts a internet radio show, Spouting Off. We're very happy to have her on the Power Hour. Karen, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for having me. I love being with you.
Yes, absolutely. I said in the introduction, I talked a little bit about the Me Too movement, whatever that is. It's kind of morphed. It's kind of taken two or three turns. I don't know if hesitant is the word, but we've been reluctant to report too much on it, partly because you don't even know what it is. You know, Hollywood, is this an illusion? Is this a game? Is this, obviously nobody's for abuse of anybody, women, anybody, but what even is it? What's become clear that politics are definitely involved in some way. Now, with Kavanaugh, we've seen this. This is no clear example. We're right in the middle of his nomination hearings, for his confirmation hearings, and now out of the blue, right before the vote, these people come out of the woodwork and are trying to cast themselves under the veil of Me Too and abuse and victimhood and that you must listen to me. And without due process, without anything, we're supposed to just listen to them. Talk a little bit about your position, the Me Too, this Kavanaugh situation. What is important for us to look at here?
Oh, my. Well, and thank you for having me, as I said. I have been, this whole Me Too thing has been on my radar for quite some time. I started writing about it in June or even earlier in the American Thinker and other places because I saw it as a political movement that it is, and it's only gotten worse. It was a left-wing movement to begin with because you had all these women in pink hats the day after the inauguration. And so they were ready to go after Trump to begin with, and they've been ready to go after him on sexual misconduct. What a lot of people don't know, and what I've been trying to sound the word, and sometimes I call myself Paulette Revere because I've been trying to alert people to the fact that this really has been used for the last year, this strategy. If your listeners will go to ballotpedia.com, they will find that there is a report on sexual misconduct, 2016-2017. Never been a report like this in Ballotpedia ever before. But now, in the last year, and it is about a year since the Harvey Weinstein story broke, And since the Me Too movement that followed, it's about a year. It happened October 5th, 2017. In the last year, in state governments around the country, 31 men have been ousted from elected office in state governments. Most of them walked away without a fight. We don't know all the circumstances. They should have been investigated. Many of them were forced out and pressured out. If you don't leave, we're going to make life hell for you. We don't know. But most of these men, their lives have been ruined. And they've been pressured to resign or expelled in two cases, one in Colorado, a notorious case in Colorado and in Arizona. They were expelled from office after 70 years and 103 years, respectively. All of these men were ousted out of government because of sexual harassment allegations. Now, because I believe in due process, which the left clearly doesn't, these cases needed to be properly investigated. And plus one of the huge, there's so much here, so apology for just going on and on, but there's a lot here
no, just keep
to
going.
Digest. One of the problems with the Me Too movement, and it has to be delicate because you're dealing with serious and important issues, is that the Me Too movement tends to lump together serious crimes like rape and sexual assault with maybe a boorish comment or an awkward pass that someone makes at work. To them, it's all the same thing. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why are they lumping all this together Why? I'll give you my theory, all right? And I've been writing about it for a long time. My theory is that they want to, for political purposes, turn all women into victims and all men into perpetrators. That way they can turn the victim group, women, who already vote Democrat in larger numbers and vote against the Second Amendment, and turn them into the next big voting bloc. After all, LGBTQRSVUP has a smaller and smaller voting bloc. But if you could turn all women against all men, I mean, this left is the most virulent, the ugliest, and the nastiest I have ever, ever seen. They're willing to drag this country through the mud for what I believe are unbelievably they've got the charges have holes as big as Swiss cheese. Every last one of them all have a lot of things in common. The details are sketchy. The women were drunk. They're all hard leftists. How come Brett Kavanaugh never assaults the conservative woman, I wonder? They're all never Trumpers. And I moved into it because, in my opinion, and I'll let you talk. In my opinion, Brett Kavanaugh is merely the next man and much higher up with much higher stakes of what they've been at work doing for the last year.
We've seen whatever you call the left being accused of political gamesmanship, whatever it is, they're pretty good at it. They're pretty good at doing something because they get attention, they get results, they throw a monkey wrench in the political machine, and they've had a lot of success doing it. Let me ask you before we go further, when you say the term left, because these become such generic terms, what does that even mean to you? If I say the left, what does that mean?
Well, there are a lot of terms, and what I'm talking about, I sort of see it in concentric circles. Your father, your grandfather's Democrat Party is gone. They ousted all the so-called moderates out of the Democrat Party. Among the stories that are not getting told because of this soap opera are the stunning, extraordinary stories of James O'Keefe and Project Veritas and uncovering card-carrying Democratic Socialist of America people in our Justice Department working for socialists on the taxpayer dime. Now, if you don't think that's the story, the problem is the Democrat Party has been taken over completely, I was never a Democrat, by hard leftists. The hangers-on that vote for the Democrat Party, many of them, they see themselves as compassionate. They see themselves, oh, I'm more compassionate than the next guy. That's why I support people rioting in the streets. The left, as I see it, are the strategists at the core of the center of the movement. And go ahead.
Sorry. Let me interject a second. Let me interject and kind of piggyback on what you said. Keith Ellison, he's the vice president of the DNC. I can't remember. Is it Garcia? What's the guy, the head of the DNC? Is it Garcia?
I think he's the vice chair of the state party, the Democratic National Party, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well, the head of it, I can't remember, Garcia, whatever his name is, him and Ellison
Perez?
Are together.
Perez,
there you go, Perez. He said that Ocasio-Cortez, who is an open Democratic Socialist, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, like, not second cousins, first cousin to Vladimir Lenin. That's what we're talking about, political on the spectrum. He said that she, Ocasio-Cortez, is the future of the Democratic Party. Just, I'm not trying to, I didn't know that we were going to go down here, but I think this is important to differentiate. These tactics and these ideologies and these congruencies that we're seeing on the quote-unquote left, these are socialists using revolutionary Bolshevik-type tactics. That's how I see it. Do you agree or do you have...
You are right. You are right. People should study Saul Alinsky because this stuff is right out of Saul Alinsky's playbook. And what I learned recently about Saul Alinsky is Rules for Radicals was the very tip of the iceberg of what Saul Alinsky believed. He basically learned a lot of what he learned from the mob. Mob tactics. In other words, what we're dealing with right now, and we have to recognize that we wouldn't be dealing with it if we didn't have a fighter in the White House who came to put a stop to it. And that's why he's such a threat.
Hold that thought. I've stood back a little bit on this Kavanaugh situation, just kind of trying to figure it out. So many things are not what they seem. And Kavanaugh has been soft on the Fourth Amendment. I mean, personally, I have some reservations. But the more I look at this and how he's being attacked, this obviously there's a key point here. His nomination is, there's something key about this, obviously, to the quote-unquote left, whatever this is. I, like we said the day or so ago, I am just dumbfounded that we're seeing senators, congressmen, political hacks, whoever, all getting on TV. It's like they go to a meeting in the morning and they get a script and they come on and they say, Brett Kavanaugh must defend these charges. He must prove his innocence or something. It's like they are reading from a script, and I think this is very dangerous. It boggles my mind. Karen, are you seeing the same thing?
I do, and I've been watching it for a long time. Let's face it, Democrats, by their very definition, are collectivists. They all march in lockstep. Right now, they've become so radicalized. And think about this. Just came to me, really, but it's something I've been saying for a while. They created the monster of the radical left of their constituents, who are egging them on. Part of what people say, the talking heads, is that they're being egged on by their base. Well, who do you think created that base? They did. They've been inciting anger, hostility, everything your mother told you not to do, which is to blame everybody else, to be a sore loser, all of that and more. They are encouraging the worst behavior. The most appalling thing of all to me, and all of it has been appalling, and it's going to be appalling tomorrow as well, whatever happens, is that they are willing, that lawmakers, people who make the law, have been advocating the abolishment of due process. They've already decided this man is guilty with the most ridiculous charges. Listen, I get real suspicious when a woman who makes an accusation doesn't want to go under oath, who wants to choose who will question her, who has smeared and attacked the people that have bent over backwards to try to listen to her, who all of this behavior through her attorney and herself shows that she has a very weak case. It's preposterous. Well, the left is asking us to dispense with our common sense.
I checked out when she said she was afraid to fly to Washington because she's afraid of planes. I checked out because I believe she went to Hawaii. I believe she went to Hawaii. Did she swim there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, what'd she do? Swim? And she goes back and forth from the East Coast to the West Coast. And see, the left has tried to prime the pump by telling us that we are not allowed to question a woman. We should blanketly believe her. And let me say that I came up with a hashtag called We Aren't Victims, WAV, kind of like the wax and the waves, you know. And it's interesting because it stands for the waves in World War II stood for women approved for voluntary emergency service. And my theory is that conservative women are the very, very best people to be the adults in the room and start talking about why the Me Too movement is so dangerous and so limited. And one of them is they want to turn the only men that are apparently acceptable to the left are either gay men or transvestites. They do not like strong, straight men. And why? Why would you say that they don't like strong men? Because at their best, at its best, masculinity is really endemic of competition, resilience, standing up when you're getting knocked down, protecting your family, providing for your family. All of that sounds a lot like capitalism, doesn't it? The left would rather you marry the government, not another man.
Well, yeah, they want you to, even worse, they don't want you to marry the government. They want the government to be your daddy. So the government's your parent. This whole thing, and we talked about this earlier today when we talked, they're demanding now Brett Kavanaugh must prove his innocence. Well, okay, that's like me telling you, Karen, I want you to prove 20 years ago that you didn't kill that man who lived in your neighborhood. Okay, I believe you did. Now prove to me that you didn't. Prove it. And do it by next Thursday, too. And if you don't do it by next Thursday, you should be wiped off and we should never hear from you again. You should go off and be disgraced. I mean, that's,
you know,
isn't
what?
That what
these
they're doing?
These are classic totalitarian tactics. The left did not make them up. They're simply regurgitating the most appalling totalitarian, authoritarian tactics that were used in Nazi Germany, that were used in Stalin's Russia. And we talked about this, you know, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. If they want to go after someone, they want you to defend yourself before you know what you're defending against. Our brilliant founders saw the danger of that. They wanted to empower the individual. They wanted to keep the state small and restrained. And what does the left want to do? The exact opposite.
I've been saying for a while, I think Trump's, it may end up being his greatest achievement up until now. His greatest achievement to me is that he has turned America's consciousness against what was mainstream media. He's really killed it and pointed the finger back at them. No, you're fake news. When he said that in that news conference, the dynamic that changed in America at that point, I don't think can be underestimated. Now, this case right here, all these tactics you're saying, the Kavanaugh, these are tried and true totalitarian Bolshevik tactics. They've worked for a lot of years. I think that Trump, his atmosphere, his rhetoric, whatever you want to call it, he's made it now so that I don't think it's going to work anymore. What do you think?
Well, I think that's maybe a slight bit more optimistic than I am right now. I have come to I'm delighted with so much that Trump has done. I think that his impact in less than 2 years is immeasurable, immeasurable. His very presence drives them crazy, and that's a good thing, because then we get to see who they really are. The problem is the impact of the media cannot be underestimated. They're playing to people that are not us. They're playing to people who only read headlines if they get news at all. And what they're hearing is, there's now a third woman, I'm sick of this, get rid of Brett Kavanaugh. That's what the left wants. They want the headline, and they're hoping, because after all, if they had it their way, they'd had 7-year-olds vote. And 7-year-olds might be smarter than the Democrats we have now. But nonetheless, it's a very disturbing thing when the media has really become Pravda in this country. So anything, I disagree with Trump backing off or whoever did. I think the media is the current biggest enemy that there is, because they're pushing an agenda. They're not reporting the news. It's very dangerous.
That's about the end of the interview. KarenCataline.com is her website. We aren't victims. Hashtag we aren't victims. She's starting that. You can check that out. So good to be with you. So good to be with you. Should Trump fire Sessions, yes or no?
No. Not till after the midterm. Love being with you, Daniel.
God bless. See you soon.